This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
We're Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Different room here tonight recording because we're recording a day later, and the studio that I normally use is occupied at the time. So last week we talked about Tim Dillon because he's in Joker 2, and Jeff made a funny joke and Steph posted that under his YouTube page, and we'll talk about that in a little bit because it's funny. And when we get to YouTube comments, which, by the way, you guys are really stepping up. We had a ton of them. Thank you very much. We love it when you leave comments, and we're going to read them later. And then I tried the chicken Big Mac, and boy, did I hate it.
Chicken and you know Big what? Mac?
The chicken Big Mac. I was all excited for it.
Two fried chicken patties instead of burgers.
But it's the McChicken patties. It's not the, like, Chick-fil-A patty that they use for their chicken sandwich.
That sounds so sickening.
I expected it to be tasty, and I think it had something to do with the McDonald's that I went to, which is usually the best McDonald's that I go to, even though I shouldn't go there. And I went, and I got this thing. I'm like, I'm going to take this home and eat it. And halfway through it, I just threw it away. I had heard so many good reviews. A guy I work with at WSB, Mark Arum, he gave it an 8 out of 10, and I trust him usually. So he must have gotten a fresh one, because I did not get a fresh one. It was gross.
Is it a slim patty?
It's the McChicken patty, so it's that pressed chicken. It's not even real chicken. And
where's the beef?
Exactly. Where's the chicken? I'd love a Big Mac still. You know what? They really hit a home run with that quarter pounder Big Mac.
Yeah.
They should bring that back, and they should keep it on the menu forever. Oh, by the way, the thing that really bothered me the most about this chicken Big Mac is I don't ever look at the price. I just order. And I got the $14.95. Please pull it around. I'm like, what? $15? That. I'm never getting that again. That's expensive.
I didn't realize when I was a child, like, what he was going through at the time. But when I was 13, I had a Big Mac. I got sick, and I threw up all over the carpet at my house. And as soon as I threw up, my stepdad went, "Mitt." I mean, that was the level of care, but I think it was just because he had a long day, and here he brought in a sack of McDonald's. And
at least it was probably shag, so any bits that didn't get cleaned up, they just sank into the
it was the rusty shag.
Yeah,
we all had the rusty shag.
If you've been paying attention to the political news that's going on, we're, as of today, as of this recording, I think we have 18 days until the riots.
No, oh, God. Stop.
And no matter who wins, there'll be riots and fighting. And then you got that whole month of bickering and lawsuits and who really won this state and who won that state. And we all look forward to that. I know we do. So the talk this week is they're all doing their media rounds, and Rogan is being set up to be the kingmaker. But I think this is just a lot of speculation and hype because I haven't seen Rogan saying anything about it. And I don't see either of them fitting into the format of a show. First of all, neither of them are going to be able to do 3 hours on Joe Rogan. No way in hell. I mean, Trump could only do an hour with
Theo.
Theo Vaughn, yeah. You know, the other thing about Rogan is he will not abide being told what he can and can't ask. So he had a good 3-hour conversation, a couple of them with Bernie Sanders, who he liked. And then he had a 3-hour conversation with RFK Jr. But neither of these people are going to be able to do it. And you can't do anything with either of them without them knowing what the questions are. So I just don't see it happening. But it could happen. And he could be the kingmaker. But I don't.
Wasn't Kamala on Fox and Friends last night?
She was on Fox and Friends. And in the outcome of that was however you feel about her as a candidate. If you like her, you thought she did a good job. If you don't like her, you thought she did a poor job. And you thought that if you do like her, you thought that Bret Baier was being a bully. Because that's how we live now and how we talk about politics. He was a bully.
I don't care about either one of them, but I give her points for going on there.
I give her points for going on there, yeah.
She really answered the tough questions.
This whole thing, it's not like when we were kids. Like, even if you, like, I remember, okay, the first time I voted was in 92, and I voted for Bill Clinton. Then he was running against George Bush, H.W. Bush. You know, you didn't like the Gulf War, and you didn't like this and that when you're young and everything, but you didn't hate them. You didn't hate them, and you weren't bombarded with nonstop political ads, and this is an existential crisis if you elect this person. But we live in a crazy world. We're almost done, so just, if you can't stand it, just bear with it. I know a lot of people that Jeff and I either grew up with or went to college who are just like, get over it. Get over it. And then there's other people who are just talking about it nonstop. My parents are in there. My dad's almost 80 years old, and he's all day long posting on Facebook.
Yeah, don't go near. Do not go near a septuagenarian or an octogenarian.
Yeah, nope.
This is all they talk about.
Boomer Facebook, avoid it until December, because then all the Christmas memes show up. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think Rogan will have them on? Will they go on Rogan?
I think he would.
You think so?
Yeah.
Musk would probably make it happen. I think he would have them both on just to pacify everyone.
Yeah.
I think he would have them on if they would come on together.
Oh, that would be cool.
And Joe Rogan moderating them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't hit her or anything.
Talk about ratings.
Yeah, no doubt.
I just want to see a picture of both of them with that werewolf he has out in the lobby.
No shit. They all get high and ride on those little...
I love a little racing machine you have out there.
I don't know where to talk about this. Has anyone seen Terrifier 3?
No.
Not 3, no.
No.
But has anyone seen the first two?
I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it? What turned you off about Terrifier 1 when he saws the woman in half from her down to her head?
I can't explain it. I mean, maybe it starts with the clown, which, yeah, I'm one of those people. I don't like them. And especially, he is very creepy. I don't like torture porn for the most part. It's just, and that's what it seems like to me. It's just not.
You like torture and you like porn. You just don't think they should be together.
No and no. I like slashers. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I like slasher movies is what I like. And like I just watched History or whatever, In a Violent Nature. I just watched that over the weekend. And there are scenes in there that you could call me, but in the slasher context of it, I could handle it. It was shit that I'd never seen before, kills I'd never seen before, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. I don't know. I don't get into that just where it's just, I don't like Saw. I don't care about the Saw movies.
I like the Saw movies. The first two, especially the first one. I think it's interesting. Now, Jeff, did you see either of any of those movies? You're not a slasher film guy, all right? You don't like horror.
No.
You like comedy horror. You like horrors. Dustin, you saw it, right?
Yeah, I've seen them. Now, these guys, if you remember back when the remake was first coming out, and everyone was having those social media things around New York and New Jersey where they were seeing clowns?
Yes.
That was these guys.
So they were doing it.
They were the ones, the company that's behind Terrifier, they did that social prank or whatever. They were the ones that were the cause of it back
then. So you're just driving down the road on the New Jersey Turnpike at night and you see a clown just standing by the road staring at you. That was that.
Waving. Yeah, that was the.
Waving. Terrifier 3 won at the box office last weekend over Joker Filiadu. And whatever other movies are out there, I think it brought in $30 or $40 million. So I said, I might as well watch these movies because I had tried to watch the first one and I couldn't get through it. So I forced myself to watch the first one. And it was, aside from the fact that there's really no story and you don't really know why this person is evil clown that kills people and they don't even reveal it in the film, it was okay. And I get why that one's cult. But then I said, well, all right, I'll watch the second one. And the second one has a story. I just don't care or understand what's going on. And it's just brutality for no reason. And, you know, Saw, there was a game. Was another one that's really gruesome. I mean, Human Centipede, you know, the basis of that is there's a human centipede, and that's gross.
Hostel
is what I was thinking of. These guys go to Europe, get lured by these, you know, Eastern European whores, and they end up, you know, getting the eyeballs pulled out and all that. But at least there's vengeance. But I had to slog through this second one. I had no idea what was going on. They're leading you to believe that their father might be the clown. At least they're teasing all this stuff. I don't know. But everybody gets killed. No spoiler alert. Not everybody. But then you get to the credits, and I said, well, there might be something in the credits. Midway through the credits, there's like a 5-minute scene with Chris Jericho, the wrestler. And I'm like, holy shit, this 5 minutes is the best acting and the best part of this entire movie. And I guess that he is in the third one, or it sets you up for the third one. So now I got to watch the third one, but I'm not going to go see it in the theater.
Longtime listener Kevin Jackson, he went to it. I saw he posted it in the Radio Shack. Yeah, and then he, like, that placard that they give you that if you get sick or you need assistance to ask for one of the staff.
Yeah.
Because it's so gruesome that you might have an incident, popcorn. A medical emergency over it.
I don't see how that could happen. You know it's fake. If you know something's fake, why would it gross you out? And why would you go to a movie if it's going to gross you out and you know it's going to gross you out? I get sick in horror movies, but I just can't see it. I just can't stop going. Stay at home. Put a bucket in front of you.
Well, I had heard that in A Violent Nature that there were people that got sick going to see that during the yoga kill, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And while it is quite a graphic scene. I mean, I ain't sick.
No.
I mean, it was a cool kill. I hadn't seen a kill like that. It was, you know, whatever.
You know, you threw up and Nancy Picklebottom went, damn it.
All over the rug. The shag rug that we have over here. Yeah. The other thing I watched, I think we all probably watched, was the fourth episode of The Penguin called Sentani, May You Live 100 Years.
Yeah.
And what we saw with this episode was a flashback to Sophia and how her father kind of pushed her into the Arkham Asylum. I thought it was
good. Yeah, it's different than the comics, right? Because she's not really the hangman.
In the comics,
she really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she also, one big difference from the comic books and her character is in the comics, she's like the daughter of Kingpin. I mean, she's like 6'8 and like 300 pounds.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, big difference in physical look.
When she's in Arkham, do we see any Easter eggs of potential characters that'll be on in the future Batman universe, that this Robert Pattinson Batman universe? I thought maybe you saw the Joker, but I mean, she's in the woman's ward, so the Joker wouldn't be there.
Right. You see Magpie.
Which we're not going to see again.
No.
Yeah, apparently not.
No. I'm innocent. And I listened to the podcast. They just chose the name, really. They just chose the character and threw her into it. They were trying to find another character to be of the foil, and they didn't really even care what her backstory was. They just wanted to use her and put her in.
And she was in Arkham. I mean, she had a lot of her scenes, even in the comics and stuff, has to do with Arkham. So good connection.
Well, now we're halfway through this series and there's 4 episodes left. Are we going to see by the end of the season the full ascension of the Joker, or will they continue this?
The Penguin, you mean?
I'm sorry. Yes, the Penguin.
As it stands right now, you're one family down.
Yeah,
so great.
Yeah, that was.
And then she just killed everybody in the whole house except for the little girl.
Yep.
So that just tells you. I mean, she's not evil. She's just sick of their shit.
But I'm still angry at Oswald for double crossing us.
What she went through, though. Come on, now. What she went through in that asylum. That was hard to watch. It was hard to watch. When they kept shocking her and just seeing her unravel, and her performance was unbelievable. If she doesn't get nominated for every Emmy and every Golden Globe.
Yeah.
One thing, I think the guy from Arkham that she goes with, the guy from Sons of Anarchy, I think he's going to be the Scarecrow.
It's new with Trailers and Triads with Steph.
Last week, you know, everybody was talking about the Joker and that it was going to be, I don't know, something. Maybe it was going to be something. And it turns out, as you said, Tim, it took a big old nosedive. It's going to lose $150 million.
To almost $200 million. Maybe it'll make it up in China.
Completely bombed. And, you know, of course, Tim Dillon made fun of the movie so exquisitely on his own podcast this week. I don't know, I think anybody could have roasted it better than he did. I mean, he said when they were making it, I knew this was crap. I knew it was bad.
Yeah, if you've never seen it and you want to watch a funny commentary from somebody who's in the film, go to YouTube and put in Tim Dillon Show. But you must have put the comment underneath it right after the video dropped.
No, it was probably about an hour or so. Okay. About an hour or 2 hours after it came out. Every once in a while, I don't always try to get top comment on his thing. I've gotten close a couple times with some other ones that I made, but this one, Jeff's joke that I stole from him, I commented on there. My friend got a bootleg of The Joker 2 and walked out of his own house, and people fucking loved it. And it beat everybody's comment. I got it's almost got 4,000 likes on the comment.
It's got 80 follow-up comments, too.
Yes, everybody keeps responding. And then, you know, I've got Baby Billy as my screen picture. So, a lot of people are like, bro, great comment.
And then we find out, I didn't know this. Maybe you'd mentioned it before, but I never remember. You hate Tim Dillon, Jeff. You never have mentioned that. And we've been talking about him for a long time now. How come you never mentioned that before?
Man, we talked about it a long time ago.
We did? I don't remember. We've been doing this podcast for a very long time.
I remembered it when you brought it up. I was like, oh, but I didn't realize it was Tim Dillon that you were talking about.
Yeah.
But you went on one of those Impractical Jokers cruises.
Yep.
And then he commented on the some of the people there, plus size people on there. What did he say? And where did
on Chris and Stefano's podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
after the cruise.
Yeah.
He was making fun of people being fat on the cruise.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're fat, dude. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. So he's really just saying pores, maybe? I don't know. Or he's just trying to be edgy. So what did you do?
Self-deprecation doesn't work on other people.
No. So how did you communicate your dislike of that to him?
I just said it was lame. And
where, on Facebook?
No, I can't remember. Maybe Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And what and he was like, hey, fucking kill yourself.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah. I can't believe he responded to you.
Yeah.
Well, it touched a nerve.
I guess it did. Look at Jeff. He goes deep.
Well, I'm sure you're not the only person who told him to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
And then little would he know that your joke about his shitty movie.
You got to watch out for Jeff. He plays the long game.
He does.
And he uses different vehicles to get his jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
mule that one over.
I muled it.
You muled it. So Joker Folie à Deux is a bomb. Nobody wanted this movie. Nobody cares. This is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it and you do care. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Do care. Okay, he dies at the end. And then some other guy in the prison carves his mouth into a smile. So this guy that Joaquin Phoenix is playing isn't the Joker from the Batman universe, or he's the inspiration.
He's the inspiration for the Joker.
For the Joker.
Yeah.
But this is done because it's not current canon. It's not a part of the Robert Pattinson, right? It's not the same actor playing the Joker. There's a scene from The Batman that was cut where, you know, Batman, Robert Pattinson's Batman, goes in to Arkham, Silence of the Lambs style, and, you know, tries to get help from the Joker about the Riddler. So we'll see more of the Joker in the next movie.
And that ending for Joker 2 was supposed to be the ending for Joker 1, but Nolan had it 86'd.
Oh.
He was like, he goes, it was too close to making it seem like his Joker, like Heath Ledger's Joker, was that guy. So he 86'd it. And then now, since the first Joker did so well, now the director for the Joker has the juice to make it happen.
Well, Todd Phillips, right?
Todd Phillips, yeah.
Yeah, he's out of there anyway.
Well, that was also a rumor that Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix knew the entire time that it was going to be bad, but they did it anyway just to appease the studio, but they all got paid, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so it was kind of like, yeah, we'll make another one. Sure, you're going to bug us. Fine. We'll ask for this much money. We all get it. We make your movie and we put it out. They don't give a shit.
We'll make your piece of crap movie.
Well, it, like Tim Dillon said that Lady Gaga cannot act.
Yes.
He said, I'm sitting in the chair saying, get her out of here. Get her out of here.
Get her out of here. And then she was really pushy at the food trough.
Well, that was that. Jerry Seinfeld is walking back some comments he made last year to the New Yorker's David Remnick whenever he said that the left was ruining comedy.
What did he exactly say? Is that all he said? Because he's talking about words and stuff, and I don't recall him going, you should be able to say the N-word.
He said that the extreme left has suppressed the art of comedy.
Okay.
And now he's saying that's not true.
Right.
And I guess he got a lot of backlash over this.
Of course he did.
Probably the most he's ever gotten off anything.
Yeah. And like from his good.
He married that young girl or whatever, or dated that young girl. I think he got more controversy about that.
Okay, she was 17. Anyway, yeah, it's time, you know. You grow, you get older, and you realize maybe I said some stupid things.
Well, it seems as though whenever he was getting praise from commentators on Fox News and other conservative platforms,
I didn't like that very much. It made me uncomfortable.
That's when it kind of hit him that he was kind of playing for the other team.
Yeah, not MAGA. I'm not MAGA at all.
Well, I don't know about you guys. There's no way in hell I would want to go to this haunted house. Have you heard of this McCamey Manor that they did the thing on Hulu last year? Mm-hmm. It's in Summertown, Tennessee. And it's one of those immersive horror experiences, but apparently it's the worst one that there is. I mean, there's a few of these places that do this, but this one has a detailed 40-page waiver that you have to sign. And, you know, it can last up to 6 hours. It's personalized to play into your deepest fears. They
fuck with you, though, physically, right?
Yeah.
They can touch you and shit.
They can do dentistry on you.
Yeah. Dentistry.
Yes.
Is it safe?
Yeah.
Is it safe? Yes, it's safe. It's so safe. Why? How can they do that? How are they allowed to physically?
That's what you sign.
Sign the waiver. Sign
it. Bring back the 40-page waiver. Yeah. And you have to have a doctor's note for both your mental and physical clearance to take.
Hey, Doc, I'm going to go to a haunted house and have someone beat the shit out of me and berate me.
Oh, you can have your hair chopped off and stuff. I mean, at one point, he had a 23,000 person waiting list to get into this shit.
People are masochists.
And they are. But then, like, how much does it cost? A bag of dog food and 4 cans of dog foods. Because I guess he donates them to a shelter.
It's helping the animals. I like that. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an interesting twist, but, the guy, he actually got arrested for attempted murder back in the spring. I guess that documentary.
Easter egg hunt?
I don't know, but the charges got dropped in September, and he's back at it.
His excuses, I was running a haunted house.
I mean, you signed the waiver that I could attempt to kill you,
I wouldn't do it. You know, I got punched by a patron at a haunted house.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was the Lambda Chi fraternity house. Always had a haunted house every year. And kids from the city. Kids from our town would go through it. And they had a relationship with McDonald's where I worked. And so I was dressed up as Freddy Krueger. And I had, you know, the sweater. And I had the glove you could buy at, like, everywhere. Spencer's probably bought it. Jeff probably paid for it, given my fiduciary situation at the time. Anyhow, I was hiding behind hay, and I ran out, and I had the glove on, and this kid screamed, and the dad punched me.
Ooh. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I didn't do that shit anymore. I just went, hi, I'm Freddy Krueger. Boo.
Well, the worst thing ever happened to me was a mentally challenged person farted in my face.
That's all right.
It would have been if I wasn't on my hands and knees.
I can't do anything.
I was on my hands and knees trapped in one of those, it was one of those trailer ones. And we were climbing through this thing where it gets smaller and smaller.
You signed
and smaller.
The waiver, Steph.
Yeah, I did sign the waiver. But the mentally challenged girl was in front of me on her hands and knees crawling, and it kept getting smaller. And she was like, I can't fit, right? I can't fit. And then I just was like, you got to. And we just kind of like pushed her And when we pushed her, she went farted right in my face. That was the cost for the, who was it? The Knights of Columbus that ran that trailer. Oh, anyway, what about this pumpkin? Have you seen this 2,471-pound pumpkin that won
Peter,
in California?
Peter Griffin inside it?
Peter Griffin was inside it.
This pumpkin Peter. Is out of hand. This Minnesota horticulture teacher, he drove this pumpkin 3,000 miles to California for this championship. And I guess he did all kinds of horticulture magic to this pumpkin.
Pumpkin life. It's pumpkin life.
It's the most incredible pumpkin. So now it won this big ass contest. Now they're driving it to Southern California where they're going to enter it into a pumpkin carving contest.
What do you got to carve it with? A jackhammer?
I don't know what they're going to
chainsaw.
I mean, I feel like they could make a haunted house out of this pumpkin. It's that big. You know what made me happy, though, was Detroit beating the absolute crap out of the Cowboys last Sunday.
Oh, they ruined Jerry Jones.
They ruined him. I mean, RIP to Hutch's leg. He'll be out the rest of the season, and we're really hoping this the Isaiah kid is going to step up for him. But Jerry Jones, he went off. He was like in an interview with some radio hosts, I believe it was.
Yeah, Dallas, the show that talks to the coach in Dallas, the sports talk. He's a complete ass. I could have you fired.
Yes. He got so he's just like such a fascist.
This is not your job. I can go find other people. I can hire new people. That I'm not paying for this type of thing. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, it's not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
That's not your job. Your job is to be a stupid radio idiot and blah, 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 blah.
Jerry Jones is an idiot.
He is an idiot. He is an idiot.
Because he signed his quarterback to the biggest contract in history the day before the season starts, and he sucks. And everybody who's been following Dak, he's good, but that team is not built to make him successful.
Nah.
They have they have a subpar running back that's making a shit ton of money. Another guy, like they let Tony Pollard go.
Yeah, let him go.
All right. And now you have Rico Dowdle. And he's really good. He won't be there unless they get rid of, Zeke. But fuck Dallas. Who cares? They've won enough Super Bowls. And, you know, for when Tony Romo was the quarterback, I liked him, so I would root for them unless they were playing the Giants or another team that I might like. And Tony Romo turned out to be one of the best. I love those guys. I love Tony Romo with Jim Nantz. They're my favorite duo doing football games.
I kind of liked Tom Brady. I thought he did a good, okay job.
I don't like him. I think he sounds terrible. I'm not just picking a fight with you. I just don't think he sounds good doing the show. And plus, now he's an owner. He got accepted to be an owner, a partial owner of the
Raiders,
Vegas Raiders. And he can't go to any of the pregame meetings with the other teams. There's a lot of restrictions he has to abide by now. And so it's just weird.
And he had to get his hair cut.
Yeah, he did look ridiculous. They made him get his hair cut so he looks like Al Davis's kid. What's his name? I don't know his name. Just looks like Al Davis. What else is in the news?
Oh, we have to talk about Diddy. I got two little Diddy stories in here. Kourtney Kardashian, her new stepson, Travis Barker's kid, he had a 21st birthday bash at Harriet's in West Hollywood. And part of the event, he had a bunch of servers coming out, and they were all carrying baby oil with flashing lights.
That's funny.
Well, I think it's funny too, but she was mortified. She was devastated. She cut him a letter and then didn't want to be a shadow of that. She like had to get away from it. And Travis, he says he didn't know about it, but he does realize it was very distasteful.
Now, which one is Kourtney? The younger one?
Yeah. She's the one who hasn't had a bunch of shit done to her face.
Okay, which one is supposedly OJ's daughter?
Chloe,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, sorry, Kourtney. You know, learn to take a joke.
I mean, yeah, and I guess the DJ started hyping up the crowd saying, we're going to get really freaky tonight.
Yeah,
freaky tonight.
Until we know the extent of the people who were molested by Diddy, I guess we can make fun of Diddy.
Well, you know... the dude in Texas, that one attorney who's representing six more people that came out this week. I mean, and they're all dudes, I think.
Yeah.
Diddy. Some of them are saying he brutally oraled them.
What?
Yeah, that he drugged them and that they would wake up getting pounded in the ass. And one of them, he got drugged and he woke up and there was like three dudes just, you know, violating him. And
hey, Diddy runs the haunted house the way Diddy runs the haunted house. Most people sign waivers.
That's what it is. It's Diddy's haunted.
They signed the waivers.
Well, the one guy said that the three dudes were diddling him, and then he remembers distinctly just seeing Diddy like above him naked while all of this was happening. When I first read the story, I'm like, okay, how are you? I mean, not to be whatever, but how are you a grown ass man getting by Diddy? Because he is kind of a little, he's like a little chicken nugget. I mean, how is he going to, I mean, I just don't understand it. A woman, sure, but like, it's not like he's some big man. But I guess if he drugs you, Cosby.
Yeah, I was going to say, Cosby couldn't lift that much, but
that's what I'm saying.
He didn't have to lift anything. They were asleep.
So, anyway, we'll find out. I mean, the trial's in the spring.
All right.
Did you guys have the Thanksgiving pizza put out by DiGiorno last year?
No, yeah. I didn't even know such a thing existed.
It looks cool, though.
Yeah.
Well, it was only for, I think you could only get it online, and you had to be like in their club, and it was a whole thing.
Well,
and you had to order it online. So now they're going to have it in, I guess, all the grocery stores that carry it or whatever. But it's roast turkey. It's got green beans on it and dressing and cranberries.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
You're going to get
it. I need it.
Fuck yeah. We all have to get it and try it when it's available. So let's all pay attention. We'll all get it. Well, Steph can't because she doesn't eat meat. So the three of us can get it.
You guys get it. And I think you should all... I think you guys should bake them at the same time, and you should taste them on this show. This should be part of our Thanksgiving.
We don't have an oven here, so I'll cook it at home and then microwave it.
Fair enough. And then you can all taste it at the same time.
All right. So
Done deal with these news. I'm done.
Spooky season, and this week we're gonna all pick a movie that we like, and this is out of the 35 best horror comedy movies of the 21st century, from Zombieland to Scream to Freaky to Fresh. And I really, well, looks like most of us, well, one of us picked one from this century, or two of us did and two of us did not, so we'll just say that our favorite horror comedies of all time, and mine is Parents, which came out in 1989.
The Lemley family is moving up in the world.
Rise and shine!
But something is eating at young Michael Lemley.
Michael, the cellar's dark. Everything's dark at night.
His parents think Michael's problem is in his head. But Michael knows it's on his plate.
What are we eating? We have leftovers every day since we moved here. I'd like to know what they were before they were leftovers.
Before that, they were leftovers to be.
With Randy Quaid, Mary Beth Hurt, and Sandy Dennis. It's about this little kid who finds out his parents are cannibals. And my favorite line of the whole movie is, "I don't love you anymore, you eat people." But Randy Quaid is kind of a goofball now. You know, he's always posting political stuff on social media, and he and his wife went nuts, went to Mexico because of the Star Whackers. But anyway, he used to be, and probably still could be, a very funny comedic actor. And that's mine.
Mine is Slither.
Slither's
James,
good.
James Gunn's opus.
Something's wrong with me.
Javon handed me a piece of that possum over there. Just a little bit.
Oh, little fuckers are tearing me apart!
When I think of Slither, the first, what I always think of is as the one actor, whenever he says, "It's the only Coke I like." But it's so good, and it's so gross, and it's so funny, and I love it.
Tearing me apart.
I think that might be my favorite Rooker movie.
Yeah, for sure. That's my favorite Rucker movie.
Yeah.
Mine is Mallrats.
Say, would you like a chocolate-covered pretzel?
Mine is American Werewolf in London, the original. That's
probably the best one ever made, comedy or movie.
Listen. I heard nothing.
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
What was it?
A coyote.
There aren't any coyotes in England.
The Hound of the Baskervilles?
Pecos Bill?
Heathcliff.
Heathcliff didn't howl.
No, but he was on the moors.
It's pretty good.
Dustin's is probably the best ever.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. They're two different genres. Let's say yours is werewolf creatures and then the best comedy zombie movie ever made.
Yeah, mine is Shaun of the Dead, Edgar Wright.
Which one do you want, Colonel Blunt? The first one.
Peter nausea and developed symptoms similar to those displayed by their attackers.
It's, just, it's so well made, and of course it came from Spaced, which is the TV show that Edgar and Simon Pegg and Nick Frost made prior to starting to make movies. And there was one episode where they were all on cheap speed they'd gotten from somebody, and they were staying up all night playing Resident Evil. And Simon Pegg starts hallucinating and seeing zombies coming after him. And they knew when they filmed that they could make a movie out of it. And that's where the impetus of it came from.
It's a perfect movie. It's a perfect movie.
And so is Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. Hot Fuzz is probably the perfect movie. But Edgar is such a, you know, he's such a fan of Evil Dead and all the all the pop culture stuff that our generation grew up on. And he was really one of those people that can focus all of that pop culture into his movies. And he's very, very good at it.
Cool. All righty. Next week, we will finish our spooky season favorite horror movies with our favorite horror movie of all time. So that'll be next week. All right, before we get to YouTube comments, just real quick, we'll talk about what we watched in the podcast world or listened to. I listened to The Tim Dillon Show, which we already talked about. I'm listening to an audiobook. It's the history of the wrestling territories from start all the way till, you know, McMahon killed them all. And then I just listened last night to the guy who founded Vice is on a recent episode of Rogan. And that was pretty cool, except the guy's really... got the hots for Rogan.
Listen to Taggart and Torrens again this week. And the Y-Files had a new episode on Project Bluebeam. So if any UFO conspiracy theorists out there, the Y-Files new episode is it's really good, really in-depth, and kind of talks on both sides of it. So it's not really... like he does with everything else.
Yeah.
He gives you both sides.
And then the fish will talk.
And the fish, yeah. And I've moved on to the second book in the Dungeon Crawler Carl series. And so good.
All right.
So good.
Thanks. I listened to Al Pacino on Conan Needs a Friend. And what else? I listened to...
That was good. I listened to that one.
I would love it if you would be my friend.
I listened to Joe Gatto on the Burt Cast. That was a good one. Just Burt by himself. And what else? Oh, the third part of the Joseph Fritzi last podcast on the left.
Nice.
I'm listening to a new podcast on Wondery. It's called Kill List, and it is freaking gripping. It is so good.
Does our buddy narrate it?
Huh?
Does our buddy narrate this one, the guy that we had on?
Sean Ravivi?
Yeah, because he did the promo for it.
No.
Okay.
No, he's not narrating it. This is this British journalist. So this British journalist, he back in 2020 during COVID lockdowns or whatever, he has a friend who's also a journalist, but also a hacker. Mm-hmm. And that guy thought it would be cool to hack one of these sites that are a murder for hire site on the dark web. Well, he does that. Well, he sees like this whole list of people that are getting, you know, they're paying them in Bitcoin to kill. And he's going to do a story on it because the site is fake. He starts to see that nobody's getting killed. They're paying money and nobody's dying. Mm. But then what ends up happening is somebody really does die. So this man in Minnesota who kept sending Bitcoin thinking that they were going to murder his wife when they never did, he did it. So he killed his wife. And then so this guy, he's freaking out. So he's trying to get this other journalist, the one who does the show, to help him warn the rest of the people on this kill list that somebody wants them dead. Because the realization is, whether or not somebody from the site comes to kill you, the fact that somebody wants you dead, there's a good chance you're going to end up dead, especially when they're paying $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 to have you be killed. And so this journalist, he sets out, he starts calling people. He does cold calls at first, and of course they think he's crazy. He goes to the police, they don't give a shit, and these kills are ordered all over the world. So what he does, it's so amazing. He gets in contact with all of these other freelance journalists from all over the world, and then he asks them to help. They go to these people's homes with him on a laptop, and then they sit down and talk to him, and they, you know, flip open the laptop, and he tells them, there's this kill list, and you're on it. Do you know who this is that wants you dead? Almost everybody right away knows who wants them dead. Almost everybody right away. The first lady, when he goes to Switzerland, I'm just giving you an example. She's like, oh, it's my husband. We're in a very bad divorce, blah, blah, blah. And at first she isn't that concerned about it. Well, as it turns, and then they do get the cops involved, when they finally catch up with the husband, because he sent the dude $33,000, and whenever it didn't happen, they found him in a hotel room like a block away from her house with a bunch of guns and knives and all this other shit. So he clearly was going to do it himself.
Wow.
But they got his ass and put him in jail. So each episode is them going to another person on the kill list and telling them, and then them all trying to figure out who it is that is trying to kill them and then put him in jail.
Wow. It's I got to listen to this podcast.
It's freaking amazing. I highly recommend it. Even if you're not a true crime person, I think you'll enjoy it because it's just every story is different. And you get to hear the backstories of all of these people that are someone's hiring to kill.
Well, I'm in.
So it's called Kill List.
Kill List. Thank you. Meanwhile, over in Conyers, they're still proudly serving East Metro Atlanta, and they have been for 40 years. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is the place to be this fall. Did you hear we changed it? It's football, cold weather, unless you live in Atlanta. Their featured beer selection this fall is Monday Night Brewing's Oktoberfest. It is a German-style Märzen Lager with noble German hops for a subtle bitterness and a smooth, balanced finish. Perfect for the fall. They've got the best gyros, euros, pizza, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Dustin knows he eats there every day. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and on Saturdays from 12 to 9. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. So if Dustin's there that night, you might have a good shot at winning. Their food truck is also available. Just contact Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around and for all your business and continued support. Thank you for all your support to the best pizza place around. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for, dummy? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens since 2005, which is almost 20 years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
All right, let's read your YouTube comments. You got quite a few of them because we're mostly, these are talking about Howard Stern. Let's see. Traveling Fools 2020. Yo, great show. Thank you. Pat says, as a trucker, my favorite jump scare is Large Marge. That's a good one. Because we were talking about jump scares last week. Brett Perkins says, a door-to-door religious person snuck up on me in the driveway. That startled me. Well, okay, that happens. Roby says, my biggest jump scare is every time I walk by a mirror without my clothes on yet.
Same.
Square Dance Caller says, I think I watched more of Private Parts than I've listened to The Howard Stern Show. Never really a fan, but he is a case study in the COVID paranoia. On a brighter note, another fun show from Radio Labyrinth.
T.Y.
Thank you. Fuxi says, Lone Wolf and Cub on Prime. Thanks for that heads up. You're welcome. Deeb says that t-shirt is fire. Whose t-shirt was probably
Stan. I think it was yours.
Mine. What shirt was I wearing?
It was the Patty one.
Oh, okay. Thank you. JJ says, I bet a mop was needed at Steph's during that Cowboys Lions game. I don't know what that means. I don't have any idea what that was.
I responded and I was like, yes, but it was twofold.
Yeah.
Because I also needed to cry and tell after Hutch's leg got broken.
Okay. And he didn't have any Big Macs, so there's nothing to clean up.
No.
And
my stepfather's passed away, so no one took
person. Here are a couple of people commenting on our thoughts on Howard Stern. He grew up pretty simple. He grew up, and maybe you should too, says Pizza Guy New York. And then people were arguing, why did Jeff say, can you say that with your top off? Why did you say that, Jeff? Or are you talking?
Just because.
That's funny.
Because it's a grown-up thing to say.
Yes, it is. And then somebody named Radio Labyrinth wrote, changing your personality at 70 isn't growth. It's either regret, pandering, or backpedaling. I'll let you know in 30 years when I'm mature enough to figure out which. Joseph says, nobody's missing him. I'm not going to read this one because progressives have feelings too, but I will read this one. Hemp Huntress, our friend Angel, says, Howard is a total sellout. I remember the hours and hours of him and Trump talking back in the day. At least with Trump, Howard was Howard. This is just more sellout pandering to a horrible candidate. Howard 1990s would be utterly embarrassed by Howard 2024. And then Rodeo writes, you obviously don't listen closely to what he has said on these topics. Why he does not support Trump. It's reasoned and emotional logic, nothing to do with selling out. And then she writes back, go fuck yourself. No, she said, she said, did you listen back in the 90s on WMMR and early zeros in the over the decade of him openly loving and having Trump on all the time? Howard would regularly tell him to run for president. So, yeah, I think it's because he wants to hang out with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah,
and I'll leave it at that, Robin.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
Okay, last week was Teacup, disclaimer, and the Family Guy Halloween special. I haven't watched Teacup yet.
I watched it.
Yeah.
The first episode.
It was okay.
Yeah, same. Okay.
And I watched Disclaimer. I watched the first two episodes. I have no idea what's going on, but it's very good.
I heard people like it.
It's artsy, but it's good. It's just, yeah. I don't know what's going on either.
Yeah, I have no clue what's going on. And the Family Guy Halloween special was good. It was just like a regular episode of Family Guy, but it was okay. This week, Brothers, movie on HBO Max.
It's a views.
With Josh Brolin, Peter Dinklage. The twins reboot we've been demanding.
Oh my god!
Is it really a reboot?
No.
Okay,
but it looks like it could be.
Yeah, but they are twins, and Brolin had to call him for a solid year to get him to agree to do it.
Wow! Yeah.
And Hysteria on Peacock starts on the 18th. This is featuring Bruce Campbell and Garrett Dillahunt, guest roles.
This is a. That's a views for me.
Yeah, sure. It's set amid the satanic panic of the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, you bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this called again?
Hysteria.
And when is this? Where is this?
HBO or Peacock 10/18 starts.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it's Florida Man.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
this is really good. This is on HBO Max, also on the 18th. It's like Drunk History, but with more crocodiles or alligators.
Nice. I'm in. All righty. Thank you, Jeff. And let's thank our Patreon producers and donors and everybody. Make sure that you're paying attention to what's going on with Patreon. We have a little disclaimer for you. Starting in November, which is next month, Apple's going to start charging Patreon subscribers who pay for Patreon through the app and their app store an extra 30%. Which means all fees said and done is actually 43%. Say you're paying $10 a month in the Patreon. It'll now cost you $14.50. We don't take the hit. They just take money from you. And if they take more money from you than you're supposed to get, then we take the hit because you're going to cancel. So to avoid these fees, change how you pay for the subscription. Just go to a web browser.
It won't change anything, but it'll save you 43%.
Yes, that's right. So if you're not using Apple's app, the Patreon app in Apple, don't worry about it. But if you are, make the switch. But do accept our thank yous if you're watching us on YouTube or listening to us on your favorite podcatcher. And you can rate and review us there. If we see a new review, we'll read it. But we always read our YouTube comments, most of them. And listen, you guys are great if you're a Patreon producer or a Patreon donor. And if you'd like to be, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And sign up, because you get access to Radios in the Dark, which is the name of our Patreon-only show that we do every week. And, you know, I'll send you some swag. So it's pretty simple. We have lots of different tiers, but you can pay any amount you want and have access to that show. Or you could be a producer of the show, which is how it keeps going. We keep going because we have producers. And a lot of these producers we have been with us for a long time, and we'd love to have a couple new ones. It's $25 a month, and for that you get a drawing from me. I'll do a doodle for you, or you can have a nice printout of one of my color ones that I've done, and I'll send you samples so you can pick there. And you'll also get some stickers and stuff, but you, more importantly, get credit for the show. And, you know, you are a producer. You are producing this show. And so we have to say thank you to John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D., Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much. And I don't think I'm leaving anything out. I do a show on Saturdays on WSB. Sometimes it's preempted by college football, which it is this week. So let me tell you, I did a podcast only version of that show, and I got a lot of good response from this. It's the PCW's Dealer's Choice champion Trey Shaw, along with the masked Marvel Cuatro Cabezas, a couple of local wrestlers who were into the Conyers outfit out there in Conyers. I don't know if you know about it, Dustin. But they wrestle, and they do live shows, and they do pretty good production, and they're really cool guys. So check that out. It's the Popcast with Tim Andrews on WSB, and you can find that on any of your favorite podcatchers that are out there. Steph, do you want to thank some people?
Yes, I do. I had some more donations this week, and I actually hit my goal. I couldn't believe it. I had a goal of 500. I didn't think I was going to get it. I would like to, again, thank Tim Allen, Matt Carter, Brett Perkins, Jeff, and Alan Barker, and somebody named Michael D'Anthony, who he came in and, like, took me all the way up to the 500. I have no idea who this is. Yeah, Michael D'Anthony, whoever you are, man, thanks, dude.
Breach. That's awesome.
Yeah. So my walk is the week after next. So if you want to keep donating just so I can, like, really turn the screws on people, like how amazing I am, that would be cool. Go for it.
All right, everybody. That'll do it for this episode of Radio Labyrinth. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we had fun doing it. We'll talk to you next week. Until that time, please remember to keep it canon.
Well, what do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the Radio.